All right. The Lord is great.
And greatly to be praised.
And greatly to be praised. I'm going to have Yvonne share a little bit afterward, and I'm going to share the word now. And then she's going to share the word and testimony and whatever she wants to share. So, praise God. Dangerous. Dangerous. I think not. All right. God is good. Only God is good. No one else is good. No one else is good. All of our goodness is Him. You know, you don't have any. Otherwise, it'd be a burden. Otherwise, you'd be working. Now, this rock that I put up here is a picture. It's not a real rock. But this rock is a perfect rock in the Scripture. And I'm going to give 8 different scriptures this morning about this rock. The oldest thing in the world is this rock. And the last thing in this world is this rock. And when you marry Jesus, when you become attached to Him, you're really marrying this rock. You're uniting with this rock. So this rock is an extremely important and interesting rock. All the way through scriptures, it's borne testimony too. And I'm going to start with the oldest reference to it, which is Deuteronomy 32. Actually, it's in Exodus as well. All right. The 32nd chapter, most of you are probably not familiar with. But 8 times in this chapter, God refers to Himself as a rock. And that word in the Hebrew is tsur. Tsur. Say it. Now you speak Hebrew. So tsur means some kind of a high, strong, sharp rock. It's more than just a pebble or a stone or something you can carry around your hand. So this is a massive rock that you would run into, that you would hide from your enemies, or that you would get on top of, or that you would be able to defend yourself or find happiness or joy. And so this rock does a lot of things. And the rock turns out to be a person. The rock is a rock that was established before the foundation of the world. Before there even was a world, the whole world is measured by this rock. Now, if you were to make a line up from this rock, then it would be plumb with this rock. If you were to make a line back this direction, then it would be exactly in line with, perfectly lined up with that rock. That's called, in the Hebrew, not what you think. It's called shalom. Shalom to us means peace. But to God, shalom means lined up perfectly with His original purpose for the whole creation. So when you line up with God, you are at peace with God. And He's at peace with you. You are right. You are righteous. You are holy. When you do a good work, you are out of line. Now I'm going to say it again. When you do a good work, you are out of line with God. You are askew. You are off. And He calls that sin. And it's a stumbling block to people that they can't be this rock, or they can't be good or smart or strong or whatever it is, because we all think, according to this face of the rock, we all think that we should behave ourselves. You should never behave yourself. And thank God we have a whole church just like that. You can be a hypocrite if you want. There's no problem. We like hypocrites. You can be licentious, evil, nasty. Some of you have done that recently. And we're not mad at that or angry at that. Why? Because God deliberately put the tree right in the middle of the garden and said, don't, knowing you would. It wasn't like thinking, I hope they don't. God knew that you would go astray. He knew Israel would never, ever, ever keep His word. So He was never putting this law on you to do. He was only putting it on you so you would realize you couldn't. The only reason we give laws or obligations to people is because we know they can't do it. So if you want to embarrass somebody or you want to cause someone to pretend and just play something they can never do, just pretend, then you put a law on them. But in marriage, that doesn't work. I don't know if any of you have ever been married before. It does not work. You cannot put laws on people. God never put a law on you. He provided this stone, which nobody can fulfill. What Israel tried to do in the wilderness, that church failed because the obligation was not on God. If the obligation is all on God, self-obligation, under no law, just simply He wants to, that is shalom. But if any obligation falls upon you, and you've all been raised that way, everybody here, even if you were pagan, as I was, even if you were a pagan, your parents wanted you to shape up. They wanted you to, you know, Freud's superego thing. They wanted you to be lined up with society. So you got along with people. And there are classes everywhere, and there are instructions everywhere. And everyone is raised to behave yourself. Try to line up, or I call it morality. Try to be moral. I was never moral. I'm not moral now, and I will never be moral. It's forbidden. It's the tree that you're forbidden to eat of. Now, I know I just lost 3/4 of you, so I'll repeat it. You are not to be moral. Only God is good. Therefore, you can't even know what is good. And when in morality you know what is good, that proves that you're out of line. Because you're imagining now you can know something God said you couldn't know. He said, don't even try this. It's treacherous. It's a terror to you. It's a heavy burden that you can't lift. How many have tried to be good 2 days in a row? That's tough. How many have tried to do it one day without a roll? Just one day to be good. You're not up to it. No little kid ever born in the world has ever been able for very long to please his parents. If they expect him, I will love you if, I put the condition on you, I will love you if you, I'll have a relationship of love toward you if you shape up, if you do something. The gospel, the good news, is the opposite. And of course, God gave you this law. You say, well, why did he do it? Why did God give us this law? Same reason I gave my kids laws. I gave my kids laws, hard laws. And Peggy, being a legalist by nature, I gave her all kinds of rules and laws. Okay, be up at 6, have breakfast ready, you know, blah, 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 blah. Do it with a good heart, totally bless me at all times, and so on. I gave her all those laws knowing she would fail to prove to her that she wasn't good, but she held out. She was determined. She was determined on the inside. She was determined to overcome that. Because if you're supposed to, you have to. If you're supposed to, you have to. It's not God. God doesn't want you to supposed to or have to. He doesn't want you to do anything. He wants you to not do anything. Do you all understand? Now, any do that comes out, anything, any work, any blessing, it has to be the work of the Spirit. Now, if this face here, this first face, says be perfect by the law, then you need to repent and say, I wasn't. I didn't. I didn't want to. I didn't do it. And I never will. So that's called repentance. You change your mind. You're not able to do a good work. Now, you may define good differently than God does. That's eating of the tree. You tried to figure out what good was apart from God. And therefore, you need to repent of that. Change your mind about that. You're upside down to where God wants you to be. So, I know you're having difficulty with this because you've been trained to be the little engine that could. You know, I can do it. And parents, you know, especially modern parents, put a lot of pressure on their kids to get on the potty, you know, as quick as possible to beat your cousin who, you know, is already slumping on that thing. And you poop, you do your poop. And so little kids are trying their best. I can't, Mom. And they're just trying their best. And they're all slumped over because they can hardly sit. But I don't want your cousin to beat us on this one. And I want you to learn fast. And so we put pressures on kids all the way through, you know, growing up, through high school, through college, whatever, even after they're married. We still want to pressure them to be decent, to be acceptable, to be approved. God does it the other way around. God wants to approve you before you do anything. And then when you do something, He wants to kill you just before you do. so that you don't. Because you're dangerous. When you're good, I would rather deal with the mafia or Satan than to deal with a good person. Good people are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, can anyone, before I go on and explain all and show you the scriptures, can anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's too heavy. You can't even bear one thing. God doesn't want you to lift any load. He wants to give you all the blessing and take on himself all the burden. This rock became a rock of stumbling, a rock of offense to Israel. Because Israel, among all the peoples on the earth, tried her hardest. Still is to this day. You meet an Orthodox Jew and they will tell you, are you keeping Torah? Are you keeping Torah? And they're serious about it. And of course, the answer always is, I do the best I can. You know, tried. Little bacon last week, but you know, I don't do it. I'm not doing so much. And everything has to be kosher pickles and kosher kitchen and kosher everything. And, you know, it all has to, the cup has to be right and all this baloney. Now, the reason why that's baloney is not because they're not sincere about it. It's because sincerity is a sin. Did you hear me? If it is out of line with God's word. And so God gave us this faith so that we wouldn't do it, not so that we would. In other words, Moses exposes. Moses just wants to expose you as being a phony, a fake, a liar, evil, nasty, shallow, boring, and wicked to the hilt. That's all Moses wants to do. Has anyone learned that you are that? That you don't have a decent bone in your body? That you are evil to the hilt? I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's good. That's good. That's good. Some of you are hesitant about admitting that right off, you know, because you still wish you could. Even if you can't, you wish you could. You ought to. You're supposed to. You should at least feel guilty about it. If you have a lustful thought, if you're angry, if you're bitter, if you're jealous, if you're competitive and so on, those are evils that the society itself, without God, will punish you for. And let my people go. Stop it. And so this oppressive rock here cannot be this freeing rock here. This is the faith rock. This is the works rock. But here, someone tried to work the works of God and eat of this tree, which you cannot do. So the gates of hell, Satan's gates, are what Jesus said, will not prevail against the church that I build. So if you are a Christian, even though your mind, your brains can't get around this, too bad. Too bad. So it's hard to figure this out. Too bad. Do it anyway. Why? Labor hard, never to labor. Work hard, not to do any more work. In other words, kill Jesus, get that thing over with. So once you get that done, that should be done on a daily basis, by the way, crucify him and be a big disappointment to him every day. And get that out of the way, because he's not at all concerned about that. He knew you would never do this. He knew you should not do it. He knew he forbade you to do it, even though you're still trying. Even though the word appears to say, be good, be decent, be moral. Try the best you can. At least do the best you can. And the whole world believes that that's good. The Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, the Babylonians, whoever, always believes that good people are better than bad people. Wrong. They also believe that God likes good people and hates bad people. Wrong. So superficially, on the surface of things, it looks like God wants you to be good. He does. But all the obligation's on him, not on you. All the obligation is on him. This rock is a faith rock. In other words, you have to believe that Jesus was good for you, and then in you, and then through you, and then everything. Because only God is good. And no one is good but God. And you are not good, and never will be good, and never have been good, and shouldn't even want to be good, because you're lying when you do that. And that's how you mess up your marriages. That's how you mess up your life. That's how you get screwed up. I get people calling me every day, constantly telling me about problems. Nobody ever calls up and says, Yahoo! But they always got problems. But I say Yahoo when they tell me all their problems. Yahoo! No, Pastor, I'm about to kill myself. Last night I had a call like that. I'm thinking of killing myself. I said, Yahoo! You know, because you're taking yourself way too serious. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Now, of course, he called because he knew He was hoping I would keep him alive, kind of thing. Give him some reason. But I went, yahoo! And he at first was offended by that. But second, he started laughing. The deeper he got, the more I thought it was funny. Because you're not able to live up to God. But God can cause himself. He can come downstairs. You can't get up. But he can come downstairs and remake you. First of all, a new creation. That's through faith. So after repentance, that's number one. Number one, repentance. And then faith. Faith means I didn't do it. I'm not supposed to do it. I'll never be able to do it. But he did it and it's perfect and it's over. So faith is always imputed righteousness. In other words, it's just said that you're righteous based only, not on doing anything. In fact, on doing wicked things. You actually have to be wicked under phase one in order to enjoy phase two. Most Christians that I know have faith, but they have never repented. In other words, they repent of a certain sin. I committed adultery, I lied, I cheated, I was selfish, I was egoistic or whatever. Yeah, but that's not what God's after. He doesn't even care about all those sins. He already died for all those anyway. So that is not what bothers God. What bothers God is you. You lifting a burden when Jesus is the only burden lifter in the world. And so all the religions of the world are based upon this other gate, this other rock, which says you can do it. That is a lie against God's word. And God doesn't want you to do it. He never wanted you to do it. And he doesn't want you in the future to do it, even if you're born again, even if you're filled with Spirit, and even if you're discipled by Pastor Jim. He doesn't want you to do anything. He wants to do it all. He wants all of the glory. And when he gets all of the glory, what's he going to do with all the glory? Do you know what he's going to do when he gets all the glory? Thanks be to him. You know, worship him, praise him, adore him. You know what he's going to do with all that? Give it to you. He's just going to give it to you. Not because you deserve it, because you don't deserve it. He only loves those that don't deserve it. You have to be a sinner. Jesus said, I don't think I came for the righteous. I came for sinners. And that should include everybody here. The quicker you become a sinner, the better you are. So I would recommend that most of you don't even try to be a sinner. Just stop lying. You don't have to work at it. Well, Pastor, should I go out and commit adultery or should I just, you know, hit people or whatever? You don't really need to. In the eyes of God, you have already done everything there is to do. And you are not loved by God because you ever did anything or thought of doing anything or wanted to do anything or felt bad because you didn't do it. That's not why he loves you. He loves you because nobody knows why. Nobody knows why God obligated himself and said, I'm sending my son down here, and I know you'll kill him, and I want you to. And when you do, he's going to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But he isn't saying, I'll get even with you. I'll tell you what, boy, if I ever got off this cross, you'd see something. No. Jesus deliberately came down to die. He wanted to die the death that he died. He deliberately, and I pray that you would pick this up in your own life. When you would see that when you love somebody, you intend to get hurt. You intend to be abused. Has anyone ever tried to love somebody? I mean, you were really sincere about it. You know, I mean, they only loved half, but you gave it your all. Is there anyone like that here? Then you were disillusioned. You got hurt because love in this world always gets crucified. And if you're as a Christian, if you're born again, you love that. You want people to abuse you. You want people to misunderstand you. You want people to hate you and despise you and in every way be egoistic, egotistic, ego. You want them to do that. Why do you want to love somebody that's worthy? There ain't anybody. So you want to love people that don't deserve it. Y'all stunned. Now, it's only because you've never read the Bible. Or if you read it, you never took it seriously. Because if you did, you failed. The minute you do, and he says, all right, here's what he said. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Now, I wished he hadn't defined it. I wish he had said, be perfect. Kind of like, do the best you can. But he didn't. He defined it. Be exactly holy like I am. Be lined up completely with this stone. Be like Christ. And everybody here has to say, well, I'm not like that. Well, if you're not like that, don't play the game. If you're not like that, don't even get into it. Because if you're not going to be perfect, your marriage is not going to work. How many know that he intended everything to fail, fall apart? Everything that he set up was intended for it to fail and fall apart so he could just come and give you the victory. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not the Father's good pleasure to pay you a wage. God has never, ever, ever paid anybody a wage. Remember the guys that worked the heat of the day and then some other guys came at the last minute? Actually, had God paid them what they were worth, it would have been zero. Even though they worked the heat of the day, they did not do the labor that God intended. It wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, that's why he had to call the last group to come in at the last hour to finish up what the other people never did. He paid them to do a job and they couldn't do it. So he hired some other people at the same exact wage. And then he paid them all an equal wage. The truth is that God doesn't pay wages to anybody. Everything he does is just a gift. You're treated like children. You're treated like those that belong to him. So the first thing he has to do is get you out of your natural world and get you into a supernatural world. So he wants you to be a believer, which is what this rock is all about. And you're going to see it when we read the scriptures. The third thing is you have to be disciplined or discipled. So he turns on the fire. Make a little fire here. This fire is to burn off all of your flesh, but that's his deal. You won't like it. You won't welcome it. You won't like to go through the fire to get to the fourth thing, which is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be, in fact, walking in love all the time. And the way you can walk in love, the way you can walk in love is you don't try at all. You just simply praise God. It's so easy. When you're beholding him, you're changed. You don't work at it. I swear before God, I never, ever tried to be good. Now, some of you know me, so you could say amen. I never tried to be good. I never tried to love my wife ever, ever, at any time. I never tried to not abuse her. I never tried to, you know, do anything. I never did. So unless Jesus kills me, my old self will just come right out. Now, the normal Christian life in the Bible is where you're either sinning like hell or you are completely moved by the Holy Spirit. Those are the only two options. There's nothing in the middle, which is what the whole world is, all gray. For the Bible is only black and white. You either hate me or you love me. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either dead or you're alive. You're either this or you're that. You know, it's just real simple. Totally fits me. I am at one second wicked as all get out. In the next second, love Jesus with all I've got. The next second, I forget, got proud. You know, I just go back and forth, kind of like a manic depressive person, only without lithium. Y'all didn't see the beauty of that. That what God wants is not you helping him out. What he wants is to do it all. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, more abundantly. You know, in other words, I didn't come just to forgive you so you could keep sinning. What I came to do is everything. Whatever it is that you lack, let me do it. So number one, number two, number three, number four. So when you see Jesus, he's the Holy One. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the perfect example. When you see Jesus, he never slaps anybody on the cheek that hits him first and all that stuff. He's everything the Father wants, and he says it like this. I always do what's pleasing to my Father. Goody, goody for you. You know what I mean? We haven't done that. None of us have always done what's pleasing to the Father. Jesus did. So grading on a curve, Jesus just ruined the curve. It totally messed up the rest of us. So he's the only one that goes to heaven based on works. But he didn't even do it under obligation or a law. He did it voluntarily. He was happy to do it. Even to be killed. He was happy to do that. He said, Father, let this cup pass. Nah, I'd rather do what you will. I totally trust you. And so Jesus had no problem obeying the Lord. And the more you mature, which is the more you die, the more you mature, that is, the more you die to yourself, the more you lose your life, you find it. The more you try to keep your life and be a big deal and be impressive and, you know, behave and do all the things that people say, wow, she's really a Christian. Oh, my gosh. That's awful. It's awful. Have you ever met someone like that? That's really a Christian. you know, their face is washed, you know, they speak softly and nicely and so on. I don't like that. I like Peggy, yelling, screaming, biting. Yeah, I love that. I love it. She's exactly the one I need. I didn't want her to be consistent. I love it that one minute, you know, she's saying something nice and cooking, and the next minute she's throwing the toast and yelling, and I love that. Don't you all love that? That's real life. This religion is the only religion that works with real people, because all of you, even the best among you, have turned out not to be the best. You know, even those that are best, you have turned out to be awful to live with. You're a hard person to live with. Has anyone noticed that about you? You're just difficult to live with. Whereas what God wants, and this is not a joke, it's not a trick, it's exactly what he wants, is stop helping. Stop laboring. Enter into his rest. So Jesus died for all your sins. That's taken care of. So number one is gone. He died for all your sins. It's over. You could sin from now until eternity. Say, really? Could I really? You will anyway, so don't worry about it. Could I? You're going to do it anyway. You could sin from all the way to heaven, and it wouldn't at all send you to hell. That's not why you go to hell. You go to hell because you're still working. You're living in hell now if you're under pressure. And all God wants to do is take that away. And he's paid for it. It's already prepaid. You can get in for free. You don't have to feel it. One of the things that I see most Christians do, and I know none of you would do this, most Christians are subjective rather than objective. That is, they're trying to read the Bible and then make it apply to them. I hope I believe that someday. I don't know if I'm sincere. Good grief. Has anyone here ever done that? No. No. You have? Yeah. That's called trying to appropriate what God would like to give you. You know, if he's offering you the ice cream, just take it. Just sit down and eat it. Well, can I eat it with my fingers? Or, you know, don't, just eat it. It doesn't matter how you do it. You ever see a little kid eat cake? You know, it's his first birthday or second birthday, you know. They just love it. I love when little kids, they get it all over everything. I love it. And that little kid thinks it's great. They have no standard, no rules, no laws. And they wipe it on everybody, and they just think it's funny. Now, that is fun. That's the way God wants you to enter the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom of God except as a little child. What's a little child like? Lawless. Little children are lawless. They're nasty. They don't like you. They just say, I hate you. I love that. I love that. You go to bed right now. I hate you. And the correct response is not a spanking, you know, or tying them to the bed or something. The correct response is, I hate you too. Now you go to bed or I'll spank you. That's the correct one. They don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. Don't ever take your husband, your wife, your friend, your enemy seriously. Don't take anybody seriously. Take God seriously. God does it all. He wants to do it all. He's God. He's the Almighty. All right. Now you have the four things. Repent, believe, and then I'm going to say the word submit. When you submit to God, that is when you surrender to him. I could say the word surrender. Submit, surrender. It's the same. Just surrender to his goodness. Surrender to his love. Can't write up here. All right. And this one is obey. But now, look, obey is real easy when you're dead and he lives through you. And you find yourself saying stuff to your wife like, I love you, Peggy, no matter what. That comes not from learning a language, learning a game. That comes from Jesus, beholding him. The more I look at his love, the more I find myself loving. We love because, there's a reason, he first loved us. But his love was not just loving because I was good. His love was unconditional. His love was because I couldn't make it without him. His love was not loving me because I was a friend. It wasn't because I was worthy. Or it wasn't because he saw potential in me. The reason God loves you is because you don't have any potential. People will call me a lot and say, Pastor, I just think I've screwed my life up. You have. No, but I mean, I think I, you know, I started out with hope. I think I've lost it. And, you know, so what? Why do you have to achieve something or amount to something? How many have amounted to a hill of beans? You know, you actually amounted to a hill of beans, you know, as they say, which means you actually accomplished something that someone else recognized as worthy. Jesus doesn't want you to. Look at Jesus. Here he was, a nice fellow. And he, you know, did all these things, and then we killed the guy. I mean, you know, it's like, God, just when he was getting somewhere, we killed him. That is a wasted life. Poor Jesus. No, that's why Jesus came. He came to die. So as soon as he, you know, did all the stuff he did, no one appreciated him. Peter didn't. He denied him, betrayed him. You know, the others abandoned him. You know, the guy lost everything. And he was cool with it. It said, who for the joy? The joy. You know, Jesus was excited about it. Remember, they took him away to beat him and to do all that nasty stuff to him. He was happy about that. Jesus loved that. He said, you know, I don't want to miss the main event. That's like people trying to rapture out before the bad times come. Why would you want to miss the main event? That's when you get to witness the most. You have been prepared to go through all the rough stuff that you go through, and so you should enjoy it. You know, the reason you're still going through rough stuff, I'll tell you why. You haven't learned to enjoy it yet. So it's good. Just as soon as you learn to enjoy it, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, you're about to die in a few weeks. Yahoo! Doesn't it say count it all joy when you face various trials and troubles? So that's kind of what that means. And so you, your husband's going to leave you. Yahoo! Well, for a lot of you, that does sound good. But anyway, you are broke. The IRS is going to audit you, blah, blah, blah. Who cares about all that stuff? Jesus said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Woohoo! Now, you literally, not in your head, don't think it. Just say it out loud. When someone calls you up with a problem, I always do it. They always ask me, how are you? And I always say, perfect. And they always look at you like, they don't know what to say. Like, that's stupid. But they don't say that because they're looking right at me. So they say, well, and then often they'll say apologetically, well, I couldn't say that. Well, how are you doing? All right, I guess. All right, I guess. I don't know. That doesn't sound right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Now, wait. If the old has passed away and the new has come, that's perfect. So do you have to go into heaven because you did a 4? No. Did you have to go into heaven because you did a 3? No. Here's where you go in, right here. You just enter in right here, and on the way, God will take care of all this other stuff. You'll find yourself doing it for no reason at all. You're just good for nothing. That was double entendre. That means, you know, laugh. Because some people have said you were good for nothing, but you are good for nothing. You're not being good to get somewhere or to get something. You're just good because you didn't notice. You just had your eyes on Jesus. You never were looking at yourself. I've never looked at myself to be a good pastor. Sure enough, I've done very well in not being a good pastor. I've never looked at myself as being a good husband. I've never looked at myself as being a good friend. Somebody says, Pastor, I'd like to be your friend. Really, you know nothing. That's cool. But no, I won't. I don't want you. I hate people. That usually discourages them. But, you know, when you're in love with Jesus, let me just tell you something. When you're in love with Jesus, you don't care about people. You don't care about anything. You don't care about living or dying or eating or sleeping or fat or skinny or dumb or smart. You don't care. When you're in love, you're in love, you're in love. Do you remember that? Remember those old days? Now, God wants you to live like that continually, constantly, at all times. Now, for some people, they can only rejoice when things are good. But you should rejoice no matter how it appeareth, because it's always good. I only rejoice when things are good, but it's always good. Because once God has come, the perfect has come, the imperfect is gone. Once you meet Jesus, your boat's at the land. Once you meet Jesus, it's over. Now, that happened to me umpteen years ago, and I remember the day and the hour and the minute when it happened, and I fell in love, just like that. I totally loved Satan. I totally loved this world. I totally was wicked, totally selfish, totally nasty, etc. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever. But dramatically changed, but I didn't do any changing. I never tried to change. I never wanted to change. I never thought of changing. I never looked at it. I just thought Jesus was fascinating. Why would you love me? I mean, nobody in their right mind would do that. And other people seemed smarter than that. But God said he loved me. And I just kept reading it because it was only written down. It wasn't anything I felt or anything. It was just written down objectively. Remember, I'm talking about that. Objectively, I just read it down and it said, you know, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, praise the Lord. I don't know about that believe thing because I don't know if I have one of those. But it sounds cool. I didn't even know what believing meant. Believing, you know, did you work it up? Is it some kind of quality of the soul? What is believing? And I found out later it was just believing in a promise that Jesus made. So I had to go and read all his promises. And I found out the guy promised everything. He just promised everything. I mean, I just read one or two and I went, that's enough right there. The guy wants to give me his kingdom. I'm taking it. You know, I mean, I've grabbed for something, but it wasn't even as high as this guy was offering. He was offering me something better than even I had in mind. I was just going to go through this world raping, you know, just destroying everybody. I didn't care. I had no conscience. I didn't care about anything. I had no warmth in me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, Tommy? Someone who is cold, nasty. And when someone get hurt, just laughed at it. It didn't bother me at all. It was good. Too bad for them. Now, maybe most of you weren't raised that way. That's because you weren't a survivor. You weren't living on the streets. You weren't just trying to make it. You didn't have, you know, bunches of fathers and, you know, people already, you know, doing this and doing that. But, you know, it didn't bother me. I never felt bad about it. I never felt bad that my dad was mafia. I never felt bad that anything. I never felt bad about that. I just thought it was life. I didn't think anyone cared anyway. I didn't know what a mother's love was or anything. I didn't know any of that stuff. Isn't that great? Instead of feeling sorry, you should feel excited about that. That's good. Because that's you. You are a reject. Remember Jesus? Yes, like me. The guy, Herod, tries to kill the little kid. My mother tried 4 times to abort me. That's great. But obviously she wasn't cool. Obviously she didn't know how to do it. And grandmother was encouraging her. This will ruin your life. She was only, you know, in her 3rd year of high school, and now her life is over. She can't go on with her career and, you know, her whole life. This, my grandmother said, this boy will destroy your life. He'll take your life from you. Just abort him. Isn't that cool? Don't you think that's cool? I think that's cool. And when my mom told me, weeping and crying, because I never knew until I was 30, whatever, Peggy knows, how old was, 38 or something. But anyway, I never knew that I was aborted and all kinds of things were done. I didn't know that. And so when I found out, I said, whoa, that's cool. And she was crying. Well, I'm sorry about that. I said, you know, it doesn't really matter, Mom. I love you just the way you are. I don't care. I don't care what you did, but I'm so glad you're inept. And, you know, she just wasn't really sharp at that, you know. And then she explained actually what she did. You know, because I wanted to know. Well, tell me how you did it. I wanted to know, how did I duck? You know, how did I hold my mouth closed that you couldn't put that other stuff in me? And, you know, but my mom just, you know. So a lot of mothers are all messed up like that. And even though she wanted to have a life, wanted to go dancing and, you know, sleep around and all this stuff, even though my mom wanted that, I bogged her down. Isn't that neat? Don't you see God's gift right there? Don't you see that? Later, my mom not only became a Christian, she became a radiant Christian. I mean, she fell in love with Jesus. Just 6 major diseases gone, miraculously. All kinds of things happened to her. My dad saw that. That was my 3rd dad. He saw that. And he said, I want what you, well, I want what you have. I said, you can't get it. No, well, how come you and Mom are, you're different, you know? I said, oh, that's because you're a Mason. He said, what's that have to do with it? And I explained in a couple of sentences, and I said, you'd have to renounce all that. That's all baloney and junk, you know, slit the throat stuff and all this stuff. So you got to get rid of that. How many know that the whole Western world is loaded with it? Yeah. Not only that, the Eastern world. Not only that, the whole world. I don't know if you were aware of that. These kind of gates of hell things are just Baalism. It's just Baal. And my dad was a moral guy who was completely immoral under the, you know, ground. In other words, most people are nice on the outside, but they're nasty when you get to know them. Right? So the next morning, my dad got up. I told him, you know, if you did want to become like Mom and I, you have to renounce all that, you know, write a letter, get out of all that stuff, and burn up all your trash. The next morning, he said, I did it. And I'd forgotten what I said to him the night before. I said, "You did what?" He said, I'm going to be a Christian like you. I said, well, okay, cool. And he said, no. And he handed me a letter. He said, I wrote this letter to the, you know, Masonic Lodge, the Odd Fellows and all that stuff. And he said, I'm a Christian now. I'm no longer part of your deal. I renounce it. Then he said, I burned everything in my dresser, all this stuff that came from his father and his father before him and all that Masonic stuff that was handed down. This is pure witchcraft, yeah. Pure lying and baloney. It's the reason why people can be Christians, but they can't grow. They can be Christian. You can be a Mason and a Christian or a Buddhist or anything, but you can't grow. You're never going to really appreciate because they believe in integrity and they believe in, you know, burn hospitals and all this kind of nice stuff to cover up the filth, the secret society stuff. Y'all understand? It's just the oldest religion in the world. It's the only religion in the world. There's only two religions in the world, the true one and the false one. I want to say that again because you need to understand this. There's only two religions. You're either working or you're not. Either he did it all or you're doing it. In which case, you're a bit nervous about your side. The beauty of Christianity is he will take anybody, anywhere, at any time, and he will take charge. You know, let him do it. I never helped the guy. I never said, Jesus, it's a good thing you picked me. I can help you out a little. I won't. I won't stop swearing. I won't stop doing anything. So if you want to get rid of that, you'll have to do it. And then I remembered I hadn't done it. I postponed it. I was a pastor, by the way, before I was a Christian. But I made this one mistake, is that Peggy got pregnant. And I thought, this is going to be a problem because little kids will catch you. Little kids will figure out who you are in no time at all. And since I was a phony and a fake and a liar, I remember I sat down the day she was born, the day Carl was born. I went to the Botanic Gardens in Fort Worth, sat down and just sat there and said, hey, you know what, God, I'm a fake, a phony, a liar. And I believe in all your stuff, but I don't do it. I just believe in it, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to do anything. But I'm going to get caught, and this little kid's going to catch me, and she'll fall for it right away because I'm a big con artist. She'll fall for it at first, but then she'll see through me and then completely let down. And it probably would help the church a bit if I were a Christian, too, also. And so but I didn't help him. I just said, so, you know, do whatever you do. I mean, do your thing. If you can't do it, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But if you want to do it, go for it. And if you're out to kill me and get rid of me, do it. But just don't ask me to help. Don't ask me not to wiggle away because I'm devious and treacherous. So if God can save me, he can save anybody. Anybody. Now, therefore, I've never met anyone that's a challenge, ever. I've never met anyone I thought, you are hopeless. I've never. Because I'm hopeless. But I'm not, I'm totally arrogant, too. That is a nice combo. You see that? Or you're totally in love with yourself, but you totally despise yourself. Is anyone contradictory like that? Is anyone? No, I want to see if there's other people who are crazy. Thank you. So that's exactly what God wants, is that contradiction, because he's the only one that can overcome it. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 32. That was all kind of like a prolegomena. All right. 32, verse 4. He is the rock. Who is the rock? God. His work is perfect. God. This rock is a perfect rock, and there ain't no other. There's no other perfect rock except this rock right here. This rock is the only perfect rock. Now, it says right here, God. For all his ways are judgment, that is, they're just, a God of truth, without iniquity, no sin. Just and right is he. So, there's your first reference. I told you there are eight. So let's find the next one. And oh, that you could read this whole thing, that you could read this whole chapter 32. Verse 15. Then he forsook God, middle of the verse. Then he forsook God. He's talking about Israel. Then he forsook God, which made him. So God made us and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So that's one of the beautiful things you can do when you're a Christian, is lightly esteem God. Just don't take him seriously. Lightly esteem him. In other words, go to church, say you're a Christian, but then live like hell. Did y'all see this? This will set you free. I can feel some of you are resisting. You want to be inspired. You want me to say it nicely. No. Just listen to it. You are wicked beyond the hilt. You're just wicked. So just admit that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. So apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, you can do all things. But that's number four. That's number four. So don't get there yet. Just go to two and stop. Don't worry about three and four. Three is just a little fire. And I'll tell you, if you don't love Jesus, and number two, you won't go through the fire. But if you love Jesus, you'll go through the fire. You know what the fire is? It's just you not working anymore. That's all. He's just burning up all your flesh. Fire burns flesh, but it purifies spirit. Fire burns flesh, but it purifies spirit. So all that cancer in you, all that junk you don't need, he just burns it off, not to punish you. He burns it off to remove that from you so you don't have to carry it around. Otherwise, you'll think when you sin, you feel guilty and you'll think that was a good thing. Do you know that's just play acting? When you feel guilty about a sin, it's kind of like you're saying, well, I did wrong, but I didn't mean to. You're a liar. That is lying. You did what you meant to do. Well, he kind of provoked me there, and that's why I said what I said. You are good. I love that kind of lying. That's a joke. Look, when someone provokes you, what they're doing is bringing out the thing that you're trying to hide that's just waiting for an occasion to come out anyway. And so when they provoke you, go, you know, I wasn't going to swear like that, but because of what you just did. That is cool. Liar. You're a liar. You sin because you sinned. You sin because you're lustful, you're hateful, you're bitter, you're nasty. You know, and it's just that you've been burying it, suppressing it, repressing it, pressing it, trying to put it down, and it'll just come out when someone gives you the opportunity. And thank God you got sinners around you, and you ought to marry one if you can. Because they give you that opportunity to get that out. Otherwise, you just always be tense. So marry somebody wicked, then you can get it out. Justifiably, I mean. No, look. God knows what you are. He's not mad at any of that. He killed Jesus already. That's over. He killed Jesus. Am I done? I haven't even gotten to any of my other verses. All right. Number 18. Verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee. This is the third use of the rock. Same Hebrew word. I know you've forgotten it already. Does anyone remember the Hebrew word I taught you? Tis. That was close, but it's wrong. Who else? Oh, you're the dumbest people I've ever met. That's dumb.
It was Hebrew.
It was, yes, Hebrew. But you actually came very close. Sir. Sir. T-S. Sir. All right. It means a big rock. Now, it's the same thing that Jesus meant when he said, the wise man builds his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24. It's the same thing that Jesus said to Peter when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. That word is Petra. Petra is totally different than Petras. Petras means a small rock that you can hold in your hand and it moves about. But Petra is unmovable. It's gigantic. It's a great rock in a weary land. It's something that throws a big shadow. It's something you can run to and repair to. It's the rock which is the fortress. A mighty fortress is our God that Luther wrote. That's what that is. Tsur in the Old Testament. Petra in the New Testament. He said, your name is Peter. This destroys all Catholicism. Watch, because I'm going to do it in one sentence. All Catholicism is destroyed by this. It's all built on this lie. You are Peter. Petras. Ha Petras. But I shall build my church, but meaning by contrast. I shall build my church upon this rock, Tuta Petra. In other words, you're a handheld pebble. You're something small. But I will build you onto me, and your smallness won't bother me at all. You're going to be built not on this face, but on this face. Then I'll send you to the fire, purify you. Then you will walk in the Spirit, and you won't even know it because you'll be looking at me the whole time. You won't even know that you did right, wrong. Your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. and hallelujah. All we do, and it's not a work, all we do, everything that we do in love is nothing more than thank you, praise you, I adore you. That's all. It's just worship. Everything you do, all work, is a fruit of or an evidence of worship. Why? Because he did everything. The only reason that you thank God is because he already did everything. It isn't, I thank you because you gave me a good wife. No. That's just one thing. He did everything there is to do for everything, whether it's your health or your life or your breath or your finances or whatever. He did everything. He promises to do everything. Do y'all understand that? So when you do something, you didn't do it. He who loves you did it. And that's what Jesus said, by the way. The good work that I do. I don't know why you call me good. Well, because you're good. You're Jesus. No. The good work that I do, I don't do. The Father who dwells in me doeth the work. Well, so even Jesus didn't do good works. He said, no, I come in the name of the Father. And he said, someday Israel, which is now stumbling over this rock, because they didn't hate face number one, they hated face number two. Because after all, if you can earn your way into heaven, that's better than somebody who's a sinner, a rotten person, a fool, an infant. Why? That's a mature person. But there is no such thing. Everybody here is a loser. Apart from him. But because you aren't apart from him, because he made you, he came downstairs to tell you, look, everybody here is a winner. You don't have to earn this. I just want to give it to you. Just take it. Take it. I can't force you. I could, but I won't. I won't. I won't. I just want to give it to you. It's just a gift. Take it. Enjoy it. Don't enjoy it in heaven someday when you have your harp. Do it now. Have a good marriage now. How many know you can have a good marriage right now? How many know you can love your neighbor now? You can love your enemy now. You can love anybody, anything, anywhere, at any time. Why? Just like Jesus. Now, you can postpone that if you want. But what God wants is for you to be happy children going about, you know, the house, you know, without a care in the world. And that's the way he wants you to live your marriage. I never take anything Peggy does seriously. I don't take it seriously. Whatever she says, she can say anything she wants to say. I don't want her to say any old thing. Just say anything. And when she does, I translate it all into, you are a wonderful husband. I just translate it because she speaks in tongues. Sometimes she'll say something like, I hate you. And I'll just translate that. Ah, you say you love me. Well, I love you too, sweetheart. Just the best. And you see, that kind of translation is necessary for all men. You need to do it. That's the way God does it. God doesn't see you as an enemy. God isn't going to save you because you've had faith. You didn't have faith to get saved. He saved you and you just believed it. That's all. And the way you get that is not get that. The way you get that is he already gave it to you and you just say yes to his yes. He just says, I love you. He just says, I want you to have everything. I don't want you to be second, third, 18th. I want you to be the best. I want you to be right at my right hand. That's your place. That's why everybody, I'm not going to finish these scriptures. How many know you should know them anyway? You should know all these scriptures. God says, I laid in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth, there's the faith. This stone is a faith stone. He that believeth shall not make haste. When you believe in God, you're never afraid. I mean, never. You're never, ever, ever afraid. No matter what's told you or what's happening, you're never afraid. Oh, would that not be powerful? If you could rejoice, I mean, even emotionally, though emotional is, you know, for a lot of people, it's just kind of the caboose on the train. Well, you know, emotional is not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to diminish it. It's a gift of God, too. Why just worship God spiritually? Why not spiritually has an intellectual dimension? And why not also a volitional dimension? Why not also an emotional? Why not also a practical? Why not lift my arms and so on? I don't do it to get something. I do it because he said that's who you are. So if he says, Jim, I gave you as a gift to Peggy. No, but she doesn't deserve me. Did you hear what she just said? No, he said, Jim, don't you look. Just look at me. Just listen to me. Do what I say. You are precious in my sight. Come here. Give me a kiss. I love you. That's the kind of God I have. Isn't that an amazing God who has a love affair with you? All Jesus did when he came downstairs was show us his love affair. It didn't put any weight on you. He took all the weight off of you, if you will, if you'll let him. Just rejoice. Now, what makes you not rejoice today with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but lies. There's no reason why today you couldn't be happy. And if you could be happy for 3 seconds, you could do it for 5. Or for a minute. Or for an hour. Or for a month. Or for a year. Or for 10 years. Or for the rest of eternity. Did you know it's just a choice on your part? You just simply decide you're going to choose which one to believe. Either you're over here under number one and you're under a burden, or you're under number two and you're free. You're either a slave or you're a king. You can do it any way you want to. I just happen to believe, I love this because I don't like the alternative. I think slavery is not as cool as king. I don't know why. It just seems cool to me. It just seems like I was kind of like made for that. Is there anyone here who's made to be served rather than to serve? But the amazing thing is, even though Jesus serves me, I find myself serving others without even thinking about it. And I don't know how that happened. It's awful. Here I am serving people, loving people. Sometimes I'm even finding myself crying and caring and so on. That is so amazing to me. It's like a miracle. Do you all believe in miracles? Don't change yourself. Look at him who changes not. He's the rock of your salvation. That rock, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, is the most consistent theme in the scripture. That rock is what you are being married to. So I'm going to put Peter here because he was the first one. Remember Jesus said, you know, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. You didn't get a revelation over here. You got it over here. My Father revealed to you that you weren't going to make it apart from me, and you decided I was the Messiah. And because of that revelation, you made a little remark like, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Therefore, you are now attached to me right there on that rock. And because you're a living rock, pretty soon you will go out here like this and you'll be a rock just like me. And so Peter now is the first rock tied to this original cornerstone. And then another one on top of him and another one off to the side of him and so on until the whole house is built. Now, you are a spiritual stone that's a living stone. Because God is alive, you're alive. Because God is eternal, you're eternal. Because God is love, you are love. Because God is happy, you're happy. Because. So whatever he is, you is. Therefore, you am. You weren't, but you are now. You weren't before. You were born in sin and you were going to go back to where you were born dust. But he reborned you in number two. So that from now on, you can never die. Never. Do you know that? I like to think about that. I like to think, even though I physically may die, I can't die. Because the God who made the heavens and the earth, who spoke everything into being, loves me. He's tickled with me. He likes me. Even when I'm sinning, he doesn't get ticked off at me. Gee, you really disappoint me. I've never heard him say that. I've never heard Jesus say that. If he was going to say that, I'd just write that on my shirt or something. Because I'm always going to disappoint you if you're looking at me to produce something. But the reason I can produce something right now, I'll be like Peter here. The reason I can produce something is easy. The reason all this can happen is easy. Because I've got my eye on him, and so I am just like him. And that's the work he does. And then people say, when men see your good works, they will give you glory. When men see your good works, they will give you glory. Is that the scripture? No. When men say your good works, they'll know it wasn't you, and they'll glorify the Father. That's why Jesus did it. That's why God did it. He just said, look, this is what God wants. He wanted to remake us all, nobody bigger, greater, smarter than another. We're all equal. Did you know that? We're all equal. We're all beloved of God. Now, it doesn't matter whether you accept this message or not. It's going to go to the far corners of the earth. And Jesus is about to come back. So it's going so rapidly. I was with some Indians yesterday from India. And I mean, just hundreds of house churches are being added just by this one pastor every day, Babu, M.K. Babu. He's from Delhi. He walks hundreds of miles to go to another province where there are Hindus or Buddhists or whatever. And as soon as he gets there, there's already 200 people ready to follow. There's already 1,000 people coming by 2 or 3 days. It just, wherever he goes in India, it happens like that. I've been there. Peggy's been there. Same in China. Same in South America. Same all over Africa. Same in Russia. Not the same in Europe. Not the same in America. In America, it's difficult because people have been so religious. There's too much religion here. There's too much one here. They call it two, but it's really one. You know, still people trying to impress one another. American religion is very materialistic and very blah, blah, blah. But that's okay. God's not against that. It's just that's not what it is. That's just obvious stuff. No, no, no. What God wants to do is make you dead. And when you're dead, you can have a lot of fun. Because dead people don't ever respond when someone insults them. It's very hard for you to insult me. Probably impossible. But it's very hard for you to insult me. Peggy can do it, but you can't do it. Because I just don't insult. If God be for you, who can be against you? Right? So who can stop me from being completely happy all the time? Isn't that powerful? You think you could be happy for the rest of your days?
I wish. I know I can.
Okay. Right. So you're going to appropriate it, but I'm going to cancel that out. I'm going to rewrite what you just said. Say it differently. I am happy. And from the day I met Jesus, I am. And therefore, I just have to tell my face.
I am happy.
And my mouth. And I start just saying it, and pretty soon I will believe it. I don't have to appropriate it. Faith cometh by hearing. I just say it. And I just say it out of my mouth. It goes over to my ear. It gets in there. And if I'll say it 10, 15, 20, 30, 40,000 times, it doesn't matter what it takes. Just keep saying it. I am the beloved of God. I am God's beloved. I'm the best. I always say that to people. I say that to scummy people. People that they don't believe that at all. I just say, you're the best. They look at me like you're crazy. Because people are used to not having a high regard for themselves. They're used to self-hatred. So when you tell them, you know, I love you with the love of God, you're the best. Isn't that powerful?